Here's something we hope you'll really like.
You're listening to
Creating Daily.
There's something wrong with you. You know that?
Because you and I are like a mullet. Sid is the business, so he's the front part of the haircut, and then I'm the party in the back.
I think they're hilarious.
Speaks to me. It's like he's saying what I'm thinking.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Creating Daily. If you've been here before, thanks for coming back. If this is your first time, then welcome. This show is all about helping you as a creator or potential creator, inspiring creator, get some knowledge, get some wisdom, get some strategy to maximize your creator project, creatorship, whatever we call it. Anyway, we're here to encourage and inspire you. So thanks for joining. If you're watching somewhere such as Guild or YouTube or Bullhorn, or if you're listening to the podcast after the fact, after the live show, find the closest subscribe or follow button and be sure that you follow us. If you like the content, there you go. That's it. Just follow and subscribe. It's all I want. Okay. I'm not asking for money or subscriptions right now, for financial subscriptions or memberships. Just follow us, please. Somebody love us. Anyhow, I'm excited today. I got my friend Chris Giles on the show. I'm going to go ahead and bring him on and then we're going to get into this thing. What is going on, Chris? How are you?
What's up, bro? Feels like it's been forever. Though it's only been a couple weeks, right?
I know, man. We were like kind of going alive a lot together there for a minute, and then you went and did some NFT project stuff, which we'll talk about. I'm excited because we're gonna jump into it. We're gonna jump into, you know, what does this look like? You know, Web3, NFTs, and creators, and see what that looks like. You know, Bitcoin or not Bitcoin, cryptocurrencies, and creating your own projects or being a part of other projects. So I'm really excited to jump into it, Chris. But before I do, how are you? How have you been? How's the fam?
Good, man. All good, man. You know, getting ready for Mother's Day. Oh, it's in a couple of days. So
happy Mother's Day to you. You're a great mother.
Thank you. I let my hair down for it.
I said that to my grandfather a long time ago. My whole family got a kick out of it. Hey, what's up? I see some people jumping in the chat. It's Friday. Nobody's working. It's Friday. Got Monty Weaver says the dynamic duo. Got John over here excited for this episode. Chris Stone says, what's going on? You know what I love about the show is every person who has either been on it or scheduled to be on it listens to it or watches it. So it's always fun. That's how you know you're building a good community of people. All right. So before we jump into all this stuff, I got a creator highlight. We got a couple segments. One new segment for you, Chris. You're going to be surprised by it because you have no idea what it is, but it's going to be fun. Cool. So let's jump into the creator highlight.
Creator highlights.
No cooking necessary. No assembly required.
It's got to be funky.
All right. Today's creator highlight is brought to you by Owl, the Owl app. So if you are an expert, I don't know, who cares? If you are, you have expertise in something and you want to share it and get paid for your knowledge, then go join Al as an expert. Use the code BT614503 for early access as they're still in like a little beta thing. And then also get a $10 sign up bonus. Or if you need some advice, there's tons of people on there to give it. So you can go on there, pay a little bit of money per minute or whatever it is. And get the advice. Chris, are you over there yet? You on Al?
No, man. I got to go check it out now, man. Oh, I'm sorry. I was late to the game,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, come on, man. I've been on there for a minute. So, but anyway, yeah, it's a fun platform. So anyway, Chris, I'm gonna pass it over for you to highlight our creator here.
Bro, today, man, Billy gave me an opportunity to pick a creator. And I picked Professor Nez because this guy, I got to be on the show, I don't even remember how long ago now, but talking about Amazon Live, but like this guy is the creator's creator. Just like you, Billy, like you're doing the whole creating daily because you're trying to help creators see the different aspects. Mm-hmm. Like that's what he does. A professor in real life, business coach, all those things, but he's online living the life on one side, doing creating on YouTube and TikTok and all that, and then going to his Professor Nez channel to tell you how it's going, coach people through those. Yesterday I had a good episode with one of the YouTube guys that we met on Clubhouse. That's actually another Charlotte native. And so, man, this guy, bro, the information is, I mean, yeah, priceless. So that's definitely awesome. Check out Professor Nez, man.
Yeah, man, I think I've seen him around in some of the Facebook groups. I'm going to have to, I should have subscribed before I took the screenshot and put it on here. Sorry, Professor Nez. Please forgive me, and please be a guest on my show. All right, so.
That's hilarious.
Oops. All right, so that's a creator highlight. And then, Chris, I don't know if you've joined us. I don't think you've joined me on a Friday show, especially as a co-host, but I have this little segment called Take This where I just show some highlights from the previous last 4 days. So here we go. We'll play that now.
How do I differentiate myself? How do I stand out? And I go, honestly, just be yourself. Like, there's no one, you are yourself. Like, there's no one exactly like you.
Make a product, to make a podcast, a show, a book, you have to devote 100% of your attention to it when you're working on it.
The format's conversational, but the first segment is an introduction of the entrepreneur. The second segment is them providing tips to help other entrepreneurs. The third segment is them sharing their insights that would help other entrepreneurs. And then the fourth one is having a little bit of fun and answering some questions.
And now she's like co-hosting a radio show. She's co-hosting on a TV segment. And she's doing all this really because she showed up professionally with her audio gear. Right, there you go, Chris. That's a little some highlights from this past week of episodes so far. And Sid got on there. I don't know if you've ever heard Sid complaining about not being on there because he's similar to you. Like, you're on here now, so how can I put you on there later? You know, it's like whatever. So Sid made his debut. It was from Clubhouse, but he still made it. He's actually out. Chris is sitting in Sid's normal seat today because Sid came down with the crud. He's doing good. He's doing fine. He'll be back next week. So yeah, pretty excited. But anyway, man, are you ready for this new segment, Chris?
I think I'm ready. I think I'm ready.
All right, here we go with the new segment. This segment is called "I Lost the Button." Where did the button go? Where did I put the button at? Oh, here it is.
Man, you better think quicker than this.
This is a little aggressive.
All right, I need a bigger stream deck. I can't see this one. So this is called Quick Thinker. This is a new segment that I'm testing out on Chris. We'll see how it works. Let us know in the chat if you like it. But the rules are, Chris, is I'm going to ask you questions, rapid fire style, and you have to just answer them as quick as you can. And with whatever answer comes to your mind, it's totally random, has nothing to do with today's topic. So you don't have to sound like you know what you're talking about. And that's when you give it to me, whatever it is. Are you ready?
I'm really good at that. Let's go.
All right. Here we go. First question. What do you want for your birthday?
Ooh, a Lamborghini Urus.
Where did Mona Lisa live or work?
McDonald's?
What's the worst thing you can put in a coffee?
Water.
Salami, salami, salami. How many times did I say salami?
3, 4.
Who is that boy?
Oh, I don't know.
That's good. That works. And last question, what is your band's name?
Oh, Trash Mans.
All right, perfect. There we go, ladies and gentlemen. We did it. That was so much fun, man. Well, for me, I don't know about for you, and I should have had this. There we go. A little applause for you, Chris. You survived the Quick Thinker segment. If you're still watching after that, which if you're not, I don't blame you. I'd probably be like, you know what? This is weird. I'm out of here. But was that fun on the guest side? Just a little segment feedback?
I think it was pretty fun, man. It made me think for a second.
Yeah, man. It gets you juiced up a little bit. So what did you want for your birthday? What was that?
A Lamborghini Urus.
Somebody's going to buy you a Yaris. Not a Lamborghini Yaris or Urus, but a Yaris.
They're going to give me a Toyota Yaris. They're going to get it wrong. They're like, how do you spell that? Oh, yeah, that's what he wanted.
Dude, between Toyota Yaris's and whatever I drive. Anyway, down here in Puerto Rico, that's like all you see. Like, I can't even remember the car I drive. I'm just focused on selling it. Anyhow, because I'm going to be back in 20 days in North Carolina. Actually, 18 days, so I'm excited. But Chris, I will stop goofing off, even though that's the most fun part of the show. And I think we did all of my segments I had planned. So let's jump into talking about how creators and NFTs can mean, you know, getting a money bag. So before we start, I guess, let's just say this. If you don't know what an NFT is, Chris and I actually made a podcast episode about it for my other podcast. However, it's still on the same YouTube channel. So head over to Creating Daily YouTube and just type in Chris Giles and you'll see what is an NFT, and that will kind of explain what it is. But really on today's episode, we're focused on how do we as creators get into this world, get into this space, and utilize NFTs for our, you know, for our benefit. So I'm going to open it up to you, and I'll stop you every now and again to ask a really intelligent question, I'm sure, because I know so much about this topic.
Oh, man. Dude, I think I just got off watching a bunch of stuff about it, too. Yo, shout out to Bradley. He's in the comments. He's the artist on the project we're working on. And I know he's even probably sometimes like, man, this feels like it's taking forever. But it's one of those things, man, that the good part about it is it's another way to monetize and create community. And that's the way that we're kind of looking at it is as we build this project, the goal is for us, we're in this creator community. That's why this is so great. That's why we talk all the time, right? Is the idea is to be able to help other creators and put them in community with more creators and not just the you and me, right? Where we jump on every day or we're jumping on just creating content. Like that's our business, right? But how about all those people that have a job or have a business that is not specific to creating, but have no clue and need to figure out how they can make money showing up and showing content. And so what we want to do is the project itself, and this is where we get into it, right? Make sure you check out the other video, is that it's not about the artwork per se, right? The artwork is great and it's amazing. And like Bradley put his foot in it. I don't even know if that's the right term for artists, right? But the end thing is the community that we get to build with it, right? The utility that we get to build with it. And so, yo, that's really the big part that I'm excited about is what'll come from that. The goal is, and I'm saying this live on air because if I say it live on air, you guys will hold me to it.
There we go.
The goal is that we'll have it ready and dropped by the time we go to VidFest. If you don't know, that's Memorial Day weekend. And so
that's in like 3 weeks, right?
Bro, it's close, man. Yeah, like, I don't even want to know the 6th.
Yeah, that's the week.
Like 20 days, bro.
Yeah, 20. Yeah, I'll be back in North Carolina, like unpacking my gear, hopefully. So I love what you guys are doing, and it's kind of interesting because, you know, first of all, I think NFTs and utility and, you know, cryptocurrency, like all this stuff gets really super confusing super fast for the average person who's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. So you guys are doing Gnomies, right? Is that what that's what the project's called?
Yeah, the bearded gnomies.
Bearded gnomies. Oh my God. Why'd I call them Gnomies? Well, I'm thinking of the grannies.
Yeah, the grannies.
Sorry, man, I'm getting confused. So you guys are doing the bearded gnomies, and so I've been a part of other projects, but it seems like those other projects, you know, like Gary Vaynerchuk, for instance, or Gary Henderson, I'll just keep talking about Gary's, it seems like all started with this huge audience, and then they're getting them to buy into their ecosystem or their NFT project. But you guys are kind of taking it the other approach, like, hey, we're going to build this and build a community with it. So what's the strategy there?
Yeah, for me, it's the community. And so this is what it is, right? Like you said, a lot of people look at them and they're like, oh, you hear about the negatives, right? You hear about the rug pulls and the people basically cashing in because they just have an audience. And so what we wanted to do was start it smaller in a community space where it gives you access to the community. So, and this is what I try to explain to people too in the utility, right? The whole point of it is the artwork is cool, but it's the utility behind when you have access to this NFT, you have access to the community. And now we grow it from the ground up. And so you're more vested in the fact, right? When you, Billy, you're a friend now, right? Like, so in this, you've been hitting me like, dude, when are they dropping?
Yeah.
Because you're like, I want to be in that community. And so it's that piece of why we want to start it small and allow it to grow, because the potential for it is endless, but we want people to know how real this project is and how much it means to us above just you buying the NFT, right? And again, the key of it is being affordable. A key of it is making sure that we're teaching people. Like you said, there's so many people that are in our space that have no clue. And so for those other podcasters, for those other creators that were like, I love the idea, but I have no clue how to use it. Like, this is the point of the project, is so that you can see from the ground up, one, how to build the project, two, get with other creators to learn to create better, and then go, cool, I'm watching this project build, and now I can go with my idea and build something myself. So that's the cool thing.
So I guess the benefit for somebody, we'll kind of talk about two sides. I mean, obviously the benefit for you guys as the creators of your project and selling it, obviously you make money there. the way NFTs work is every time one of them is sold, you're going to make money there as well as the person who bought it. So that's a, but that's a, the benefit I want to talk about as the consumer and not as the vendor is if I buy into your NFT project when it drops, then I can hold it. I can come to all the functions, all the utility, all the permissions, all the access. And then if I do that for, you know, 12 months, 24 months, and I go, you know what? I've learned all I can here at, with Chris and Bradley. Then I can now go back and resell that. As opposed to if you just had a membership group, then exactly. I would just pay money every month to be a part of it. But then that money would just go away. So I guess that's one of the big benefits of doing that.
And, yeah, and no, so, absolutely.
So after the original sale, though, of an NFT, and I've seen you guys do a ton of work. I've seen, you know, Gary Henderson, which I've mentioned a couple times, do a ton of work. Gary Vaynerchuk just has a ton of people to do work for him. So, right. But it's a lot of stinking work. So yep. How do you, like, is there any other monetization opportunities after that initial sale with that same person to, like, you know, rebuy as a creator? Because that's what we're all looking for. We're looking for residual revenue. But if I'm like, hey, buy my one NFT, and then I'm going to show up every Thursday for eternity to coach you and how to podcast, like, eventually that money runs dry, right? Unless I have this massive audience. So how does that work?
I think that's one of the cool things, right? Is like, if you think of, for those who are seasoned creators or in it at least a couple years or a year or so, and you've like seen the other monetization patterns, right? One of the cool things I think of is the Patreon models, the, you know, OnlyFans, the buy me a coffee, all that stuff, right? Where the idea is that the community, that's why I keep using that word. That's why I'm so serious about the word community, is because what you then do is you have a captive audience. And so, yes, you have access to the training, to the courses, to the whatever, you know, we decide to drop in there for the community that's free, and you only get it because you have this NFT. Well, now we go, huh, let's do exclusive merch drop, right? Let's do a Bearded Gnomies, because once you guys see the project, you'll see that they have cool hats and they have cool, you know, nose rings and things like that, and gloves. And like, so there's all these pieces just in the Bearded Gnomies, you know, intellectual property, right? And so then we go, hey, look, we're going to do an exclusive Bearded Gnomie hat drop, but you can only buy it if you have a Bearded Gnomie. That's the only way you can get access to it, like those kind of things. Yeah.
Okay, man. So, okay, that makes sense. So it's the access to any additional stuff outside of that utilities where you're going to really be making some money. All right, that's a pretty, you know. And I've thought about this too, because I have a membership for my fishing podcast that's doing really well right now, and you know, we've thought about that as well. Like, hey, this is a members only invite. It's still, there's a fee associated to it, but it's a members only invite. But I do like the fact that, you know, when I buy into your project, I can turn around and make my money, you know, potentially, I guess. So how does, and this is my big question mark all the time with these big projects, because, you know, I hear people in Clubhouse and it's like, join my thing, this is what you get, join my thing, this is what you get, this is what you get. And I'm like, dude, all of this is this creator attached to it.
Yeah.
So this creator gets hit by a bus. Like, the value of that project goes out. Is that how you guys have structured it, or is there a different way to structure an NFT project that way? If I spend 800 hours creating an NFT, I mean, I'm not gonna say it's that much, but whatever, I create it, I, you know, drop dead because I drink too many monster drinks. How does that thing live on beyond Billy Thorpe and his face and brand and all that?
Oh man, that part is that's the coolest part to me, right? Is because if you hear me use the word IP, intellectual property, right? The Bearded Gnomies, it's not just the pictures, right? Now that's the idea. And so what happens is, as we develop it, it's not just the NFT or the picture that we sent you or just the access, right? Is now it's its own company, it's its own ecosystem. And one, that's one of the reasons why it's more than one of us, right? We didn't want it to just fall off the face of the earth.
That's good.
Two is, as we build it, the company itself will live past us, right? Just like any good company, right? This isn't a mom and pop shop. That's not the goal. Some of the things we haven't visited yet, but in certain NFT projects, what they've done is use what's called a DAO, which is essentially an automated organizational background, right? It's what happens in the back end, that if so-and-so passes away it keeps going, and essentially it just votes in another, you know, quote unquote leader, if you want to call it that, or CEO, or, you know, whatever you call the title. And so it keeps going.
What's
past
your title, you. Chris? I'm curious. What's your title?
Look, I don't even think we've made titles yet, man. That's a good idea. I said
I need
it.
To know like, what I need to call you and Bradley.
We got to come up with Bradley. You're still there, man. We got to come up with some crazy titles.
We need a title to call you.
Grandmaster Nomi or something.
Grandmaster, cult leader Nomi. That's so funny. I always joke around about NFT projects being like cults because you are kind of building this. Bro. I mean, I've seen people get sideways over these things already, and I'm like,
we're crazy, bro.
I think people are like still early. I think NFTs are still super early market, and it's, you know, still pretty volatile. So let's talk about that for a minute. You know, and somebody brought this up in the chat. It's a pretty long chat, so let me see if I can. Yeah, there it goes. It fits. But James Scott says, Wall Street Journal reported that NFT sales are down 90% day to day over last month. Is this a bubble burst on NFTs? And I guess nobody really knows. You know, it's like we can't really say what's going to happen. But what have you seen as far as fluctuation? Like, because you obviously are comfortable, but what are precautions you're taking?
Bro, I mean, It goes back to knowing what we're building and being okay with what we're building on the back end. The reason that that happens, right, in any market is because people rush the market with the money. So there were all the people that were like, I'm going to buy this, hoping to flip this. And that was their only mindset. And that's why when you hear me talking, you've said it a couple times of, oh, yeah, I get to sell it down the line when I'm done 12 months and I've learned what I want to learn. But you notice I haven't said anything about that. Because I'm not trying to sell you on the hold it for later. What I'm trying to say is we're building a community now. And so guess what? When you buy a Nomi, you're in the community. I'm not charging you monthly.
Yeah, I like that.
I'm selling you on this now. So what you're saying is the added bonus that we build this thing up and people go, crap, I want in the community. And now you have value, right?
Yeah,
and so that's just the added bonus.
Okay, yeah, and you got your partner here. I love it. I should have brought both you guys on. Big Nomi. That's what we'll call you. Big Nomi. Little Nomi. Billy Nomi. I got to have my own name. It's like homies, so we have to use family, community-type names and titles. And, man, I do love this about the, you know, NFT projects that I've seen. I mean, sure, there's some out there that are just, like, super cultish. And I say that in a nice way. I don't know any other way to say it. Like, that's might be pretty harsh. Maybe I'm going to get canceled after this. But it is, man. Like, I know people try to recruit me to buy an NFT to get access to somebody that I honestly just don't care anything that they're doing or have to say. But they're just, like, up my face about it. Like, bro, you got to buy it. You got to buy it. You got to buy it. And I'm like, I don't find value in that community. So I think this is a good lesson. You know, one, this is probably not a good approach to just buy and flip. I think that's something that you said is like, you know, that's like, hey, if you want to buy and flip, I'm sure there's projects to buy and flip. But what you guys are trying to do is like, hey, let's get these out there. We're trying to build this community first. And then if you guys want to sell it down the road, sure, it's yours to do what you want. So I really love that approach. And it's not just, hey, come make money now. Hey, I've done this. Hey, you know, because everybody has a victory story. And I could sit here and share all kinds of victory stories and sell a sponsorship package at the end of it, but that doesn't really qualify the creator to even have a project that is worthy of sponsorship. Like, I need to go through that qualification process and not just here's this big pie dream. And I think that's what I get bent out of shape with NFTs and projects, because I'm like, dude, this is just a bunch of lip service, man. Like, there's no way that this is, you know, the thing. So, got another question here. And feel free, if anybody's watching, you know, I love it that people are jumping in. What's up, James Hicks? I see him jump in. I was on his show last night. It was an awesome episode. Had a lot of fun. And then James Scott says, how do you price an NFT? Is it based on the size of the community? This is a good question. How do you find the value of your projects?
So I think this is one of the crazy parts, right? Just like when you price anything, right? You price your services for your business, you price the products in your store. You have to decide which model you want to go with, right? And so some people go with a model. There's one, I just forget what it's called. It's like a reverse bidding type thing where essentially they'll start it really, really high. And then if nobody's buying it at this price, they drop it a little bit to see who will buy at that price. And they just keep going backwards and it actually gets less expensive as the bidding goes on. There's the front end bidding where you're just like, we'll start at $100 and see how much people pay. Oh, you guys are willing to pay more? Cool. Let's bump it up. Let's bump it up. For us, what we want to do again, because a huge portion of this project, the huge part of this project is accessibility. And so we don't want, you know, me and you, Billy, we talked about your experience trying to buy your first thing. And it was like, I had to do $100 here and $50 here and the transfer and this and that.
I'm glad you said that.
We want to make it so inexpensive in the sense that, like, in theory, almost, obviously not everybody has the money, right? But in theory, that everybody can get in. So literally, we're talking about like a sub $50 US price, right? So that people get access. And so for us, that's what it is. Because again, we're also, like you mentioned it before, like this itself, the project is community. Me and Bradley, we have businesses. Like,
yeah,
we're not, this isn't for the money. Will we make a few bucks on it in the end if it all works out and everything works great? Yes. If everything works out to the plan, yes. But we're not betting our whole life on this being the way we make the money. And so that's what makes us secure. And like, hey, we'll just start it here. And then we'll see how it grows. And guess what? Now, just as a small win, right? If you bought it at $50 and now it's worth $100 in 6 months, you're just like, oh, I only paid $50. I got, like you said, I got an access. I've answered. I got my questions answered. And somebody wants it for $100. Sure, I'll sell it for $100. And you've made money and gotten free access and value. Like,
that's pretty cool. It's a
win-win in my head.
So man, I got another. So, and I love that you brought this up because I did have a lot of trouble with this wallet, that wallet, this ETH, that Bitcoin, this thing, whatever. And so how heavy, and I know you guys haven't got to this point yet, so maybe I can bring you back on and you guys can talk to me about it. But I know just creating a small membership group of less than 200 people in the last couple of months, that it has been, you know, quite a bit of inflow of customer service and how do I log into my account and how do I, and this is stuff that people have been doing on the internet for 2 decades. This isn't how do I get a wallet and then I take real money and I buy fake money, and not fake money, but you know what I'm saying? Like a different currency online that I can't hold, touch or feel or have, you know, insurance. You know, it's like all these questions. So what are you guys doing to prepare? Cause I imagine, you know, people, like I've mentioned earlier in the show, you know, one dude sold over 10,000 NFTs in Creator Coin and all this other stuff. And I'm like, gosh, man, I bet your customer service team is just like 20 people answering questions because it's not common. So what's the plan there?
Man, the plan there is, I mean, that's a huge portion why we're not betting the money on it, right? It's because a lot of the money is going to go into building the infrastructure. And like, that's the point of the even having a price on it, right? We can't give it out for free. Because at some point, we'll have to have a community manager. We'll have to have, and you know, that's one piece, right? Is you have the Discord where the community is. And so we're able to answer questions directly in there. But guess what? This is the funny part as you're saying, and I'm laughing because people are going to ask questions. And guess what? We're content creators. I'm going to create content. So you're going to ask the question, all these questions you're asking, I'll make a video and go, hey, in this video, what is an NFT? Hey, how do you get this wallet? Boom. And guess what? Now my channel's going. And guess what? I'll monetize over there.
Okay. I got you, man. Yeah, because I'm in some Discord servers of NFT projects. And I'm like, holy cow, this is like a full-time job, man. Like, this is insane. You know, because I like to run everything lean and mean. So I'm like, even me answering like 10 emails a week of how I lost my login, I don't have access to this membership page, like what happened? I'm like, who am I paying to do this? Because I don't want to do this. Like, I want to create content, but that's a good idea, and I should create content around it and just put it in a resource folder there on the website, a resource link or whatever. So that's good. Let's see, Bradley is in the chat again. Let's see, he says, I think selling accountability and access is the best way to go. We want to empower creatives to create beyond us. Products are cool too, though. I think you guys got a cool thing going on, man. So how many hours do you think that you've invested so far pre-launch in from, I mean, I'm talking
a
like.
Silly amount, man. A silly amount.
Silly, isn't it?
I mean, like I said, so I feel like I say the easy part was the artwork, but of course I don't know how much time Bradley spent doing the artwork, but, that's what he does. That's his space. And so he spent the time to just make such a great project. And so I was so excited about the artwork that I was like, dude, we got to do something with it. And, cause it started out literally the artwork that he first showed us. It wasn't like, hey, let's do an NFT project and you should do the art. It literally was, he sent a piece of art and I was like, dude, that's amazing. Can you make 5,000 of these. Like, let's, okay, you know, again, and he went through and did the work, man. And, you know, so for me on the back end, I'm doing the coding and setting up the Discord. And then we'll get into marketing, man, and we'll get into the conversations like this, right? This is the easiest part to me, is jumping on a podcast and talking about it. The hard part was the coding when something doesn't go wrong. And because I'm a smart guy, I've coded some things, but like, I'm not a coder by no means, yeah, you know? And so it's, you know, when you hit those little things, and that's, you know, some of the frustration in it, but a huge part of that was I wanted to do it ourselves on this run. Because now, yeah, when you come in, Billy, and go, yeah, hey, how do I do this? How many hours did it take? Oh, it took, yeah, me, you know, 10 hours to code it myself. Or you can go to Fiverr or wherever and pay somebody to do it. But at least, you know, now I know what to look for, what to, you know, what can I mess up, what can get messed up. And so it's been a great learning experience. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man, that's cool. So how many people are involved in this project? Like what, like if I said, hey, I want to build a team or recruit a team or recruit some business partners, what all pieces have you guys seen that you would need? Like, I know you got a designer, you talked about, you got the coder, which is you. What else do you need?
So design, code, and then obviously we got together kind of on strategy and talking that. And then on the front end, you'll also want to make sure the marketing is the next biggest piece, right? And huge. So, I mean, marketing, yeah, right? Just happens to be what I'm into. So it's not a hard pull for that piece, right? But those are the three upfront main pieces. The back end, like you said, you mentioned it, right? The back end of it comes is, as this project launches, having customer service. So a community manager of some sort that could just answer those questions. Will probably, the goal will probably at least be starting out with two, so I don't have to jump in there and all that, because I mean, yeah, like you said, you know,
you firsthand
experience,
yeah,
how hard it can be. And so those are really the key positions that you need, right?
Okay.
But then again, depending on how complicated you want to get, you brought up both the Garys, right? Their projects are way more complicated on the back end and on the blockchain than ours is at this point. And so, yeah, they probably have, you know, 10 coders coding this, the one project, you know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you can get as complicated as you want, though.
Well, dude, I think I'm going to jump over here to Guild. There's a question that came in from Melanie. She is a part of the Guild team, and she says, how can we support creators and their NFT projects? So that's a good question, man. How can companies or live streaming platforms, you know, really get behind a creator? Because there's, you know, they're creator first. Like, how do they support a project like this?
Man, that gets deep, man. I think obviously it depends on the software or the platform, right? But if I'm thinking of a access type software, you know, all right, so let's talk Discord, right? Why do creators use Discord? Because there are already so many apps and there's already the infrastructure for, essentially, if Billy comes in, I can verify he has an NFT by a simple bot that's built in Discord. What it thinks about is, as on your platform, what are you allowing? Like, how can you give access and verify? One of the deeper things becomes on a lot of platforms is, you know, you're talking wallets, right? Is that the technology on your website, can you even accept the wallet technology, which is, you know, Web3, and it's a little more coding. And I think awareness is the first step. And then at this, asking the questions of how can we specifically help, you know, again, like I'm thinking paid communities. I'm trying to think of all the ones, you know, the Patreons, the Buy Me a Coffees, all those kind of things. If there's some kind of, you know, API that they can build where you can sell the NFT straight through them, or honestly starting to accept crypto as a payment.
Yeah. Right. I mean, well, and I think this is the interesting thing, because, you know, I mean, I do think that companies, if they want people to create on their platform, the more, you know, it's similar to Clubhouse, man. I spent over a year on Clubhouse. There was no way for people to tap into my ecosystem at all besides of Instagram or Twitter. And so that was super frustrating. And it's just now getting to the point where it's like, oh, I can post a link, like the most basic thing on the internet. Like, this is great. Like, thanks a lot for like giving us, you know, people access. So I do think what you said about accepting cryptocurrencies is good for companies to start considering that. I know one thing just with Guild in particular that I think is pretty awesome. And I don't know if you've been over there yet. I don't know if I've showed that platform to you. But they have, like, we're doing the live show right now, and I don't have this feature triggered, but after the live show, I can do like breakout rooms, kind of like a Zoom call with attendees of the live show, and then they can jump into this back room. We can talk back there. They can even break out into smaller little rooms, or, you know, if I had leaders of, you know, different areas or whatever. And so I think for an NFT project, that would be pretty, you know, pretty dope. Like if you held your community, you know, like town halls on there, and then people verified the coin through guild platform and said, okay, cool, you're now in the back room. You got the button that populated that says you can come back here. Now you're behind the curtain. Now what questions do you have, or, you know, or whatever, and take them to that next level of accessibility. So, yeah, there you go. There you go, Guild. Hopefully we brainstorm for you. Now just it's real easy, okay? Get your code, your code guy.
It's real easy. Yeah, just get really the code easy guy. To do. Just get take that code 20 guy. 20 minutes.
Yeah, expect that one next week. All right, that feature request. If you need help, Chris has got you. He'll come over.
Yeah, I'll talk you through it. I'll show you some YouTube videos on how to.
So, man, when you say coding, like, what all are you coding? Because and maybe this was the wrong way to take this show or the interview or whatever, but I'm really curious because I can't make money off NFT unless I'm producing an NFT. I mean, maybe I can if I'm flipping it or whatever, but if I want to own the project, there's a lot to build the project. So what all does that do, man? I feel like you just – I mean, I know you personally, so – I'm like, hey, Chris, how's that project? And you're like, oh, dude, it's good, but I'm working on it.
So, yeah, I think so the route we went, right, was we wanted to be able to give, because we were going such an inexpensive route, right, such a small investment that we wanted more people to be able to be involved on the back end. And so we did what's called a generative project, which is basically Bradley went in and he drew all the different pieces or layers. And so the hat, the hair, the nose rings, the shoes, and he basically did all of these different. And then what I do is I take those layers that he built as actual artwork. Hmm. And then I code the software to actually generate 5,555 images randomly based off of his thing. So we're not even picking how it looks in the end. We're literally... Okay. Putting it in. And then so, when I say code, okay, I'm not coding from scratch. Like I'm on GitHub starting with a base code, and I'm just kind of changing out a few features, right? So
okay, cool. I was wondering, I'm like, man, is Bradley over there like just over here working forever.
Just drawing away.
Because I've seen some of those, man. I'm like, dude, they're like, but I guess that's how, and then that makes sense. And then, you know, I guess different projects like have different variations of those NFTs. And then those NFTs, you know, some of them cost more, some of them are more rare. So how many of those 5,555 of your guys are going to be like rare ones that I need to figure out quickly?
What was it? I think it was somewhere around. So what we did, we didn't do so many different things that it was going to be that many, but I want to say we picked like two features that were going to be super rare. And so I think it ends up being, don't quote me, I know this is live on the internet, guys, but you know, it's not always true.
It might be up, like,
it's like 50 to 100 out of the 5,000 that will have these two features, or in some, and again, not exactly these two features, right? These two features in some variation. And so,
are you guys signing autographs on any of them?
Hey, that'd be dope. Oh, that's a good idea.
Dude, I'm a part of a project. I bought it. I say I'm a part of it. I bought an NFT because somebody was like, hey, you should check this out. And it's a baseball player. And if you get one with his signature on it, then anytime you're at a game, you get access to come out on the mound or whatever, and or something, however he's got it set up. Like, you get to come out on the field and shake his hand or dug out or something. I can't remember the details, but you should do that.
Back to Bradley, be like, hey, Bradley, I need another layer, man. Give me your autograph on a layer.
Yeah,
look, he said that's a great idea.
That's a great idea. Yeah, so I was like, oh, you know what? If you have my NFT with the autograph, then when we're at, you know, VidFest, I'll shake your hand.
I'll shake your hand. That's so good.
You guys can hang out with me. We'll go out to lunch or something.
Yeah, that's good. Yo, and that's the crazy part. Look, this is the other thing that people don't think about too, right? Is that the utility for it, you don't have to think of it all up front. You can make it up as you go. Like, you can add stuff.
Oh, so you, okay. This is a good point. Okay, so hold on. So you, as the creator, can, and this is the same with this membership group I'm building, but you as a creator can say, hey, Billy, you bought one of these right now. You get, you know, a Zoom call access with Bradley and Chris once a week, Bradley or Chris once a week or something.
Yeah.
But then you guys as the creator can go back and now say, okay, now you get access to this, this, and this, and add stuff to it. Okay.
Yeah. I can come to you, Billy, and go, hey, you know what? You got that really cool, you know, podcast that you're doing and you got that community. You know, can we do a partnership that if somebody in my community that has a beard to know me, you'll let them in your community just as a bonus for me, right? Because you're like, you know, it doesn't cost you any extra technically to allow them in, maybe. And so you're like, yeah, sure, why not? That gets my numbers up. And now I have a community of, you know, people that you didn't have to market them to them, right? You didn't have to tell them to come join. And guess who are their friends? Maybe their friends don't have bearded gnomies, but they want to be in your group. And now they are paying for a membership. And so it's this, all it's right. this connection thing now, right?
So we're talking about artwork, but, and I don't even know, we could chop it up all day, but I won't keep you all day. So we're talking about just artwork. And this is like one piece because this is what you guys are doing. But as a creator, as a podcaster, I can take this episode, turn it into an NFT, right?
Yeah.
I can block off stuff on my YouTube channel. I can do all this other kind of mess with it. Okay. This is this stuff. And what have you seen other creators doing that's not just images or graphics or, like, have you seen, like, some really cool stuff that you're like, wow, I didn't know that was a thing?
Dude, I think, this is a bigger project, but Budweiser did one, and what they did was, and this is why I love it, right? Because it's like old school trading cards for anybody that's ever traded cards in your life, sports cards, Pokemon, whatever, right? Is the way they created their project is they essentially partnered with, and I forget the whole number, but it was like 10 or 15 up and coming artists, rap, reggaeton, I can't even remember all the pop and different things, right? And essentially did a shoot where they made a card, you know, a trading card for each of these creators. And then they did different levels, and it was like red is common, and then, you know, gold is the, you know, rare, and then platinum is the super rare. And it's, if you have a Budweiser super rare, this grants you access to some event. And because it's random, you don't all know right. that you're buying it on the front end. It's just like a random card pool, right? And so that to me is one of the cool things. And like I said, now you can go back later. And I think Gary Vee was actually partnered with them to help them because he has this whole NFT company. But, you know, now he can go and say, hey, you know what? I want to do something crazy. I'm throwing VCon. Hey, if you got the Budweiser card, you can come to VCon too. Why not?
Oh, gotcha. If you want to,
like, it's
all right.
It's endless, bro.
Yeah, man, that's cool. So it's like that. It's like this all-access ticket that you can kind of create and collaborate. Like you're saying, collaborate with different projects, collaborate with different creators. So that kind of opens you up a whole lot more. Yeah, man, that's pretty cool. That's pretty dope. I'm not going to create one. Watching this like, you're not going to create one.
No. Look, I'm thinking about this funny, right? So maybe the podcast episode itself, but you relate it to the podcast episode, right? You're doing Creating Daily. Yep. So you're literally talking to all these creators. And you go, after every episode, because the artwork itself doesn't have to matter, right? It can literally be your YouTube thumbnail. And true, you go, for every episode, I'm going to create 10 NFTs of the episode. And then you're just putting them out. And, you know, you're just like, I'll sell them for $50 or something. And some cool collectors just like, oh, that's a cool thing. I like Billy. Let me give him $50 to buy these things, right? And then you get, you know, like I'm trying to think of somebody famous, but you get a, you know, I don't know, a Jamie Foxx or somebody, but you got them when they weren't Jamie Foxx.
Yeah. Okay. Like Chris Giles. Just go ahead, man. Yeah,
you know, I blow up, man. You know, a couple years from now, and they go, oh, I got the NFT from the episode when Chris was on Billy's show, and there's only 10 of them, and 5 of the people forgot all about it, so there's only 5.
Yeah.
And now it's selling, and guess what? Like you said, you have the access to get the money on the back end for when they resell it. So they resell it. You sold it to them for $50, and now somebody sells it for $1,000, and you get a check, or not a check, but a deposit, and now somebody sells it for $25, and it's that accidental, you know, that Jordan rookie card that somebody got before they know Jordan was going to be Jordan, right?
Right, yeah. All right, man, I like this, dude. I like this approach. You've eased my mind about it a little bit because, you know, it's just so much in the news right now as far as, like, creator news, I should say. I don't really subscribe to news, but it's, you know, it's all over Clubhouse, like NFT. Everyone went from like podcast coach, consultant to NFT expert overnight. And I'm just going, this is like not really a good strategy, but I think you guys get a great strategy. I love that you're community first, that you're like, hey, this is the main focus, is to really build this thing out, to build this community. Bradley says, I got you, Nomi. I mean, yeah, that's a thing, right? I got you, Nomi. Like, that's cool. That's a thing. That's a community thing. So, man, is there any other way that we can think about creating an NFT project? And we didn't even talk about crypto coin and building your own rally coins and all that kind of stuff. I mean, there's so much you can do, but is there anything else that you wanted to share I didn't really ask you about or we didn't talk about?
Dude, I mean, you got me thinking, because I'm like, the possibilities are endless in the sense. And so for anybody that hadn't saw the other episode, remember, again, make sure you check out the other episode to get some of the basics of what NFT is. But yeah, one of the things about it is, right, like you said, it's not just the artwork. It's the actual ownership on the blockchain that's verified, you know? And I'm thinking, like, I don't even know if I posted a video about it, but there was like one of the first NFTs that was a real house in real life in Beverly Hills, that for an extra, I think it was like a $10 million house, and then for extra $100,000, they basically got the NFT that was in the metaverse, in Decentraland metaverse.
Oh, man.
Oh, so now they have the NFT version and the real life house, and that's saying that they own, like, come on, man.
That's pretty dope.
It gets a little trippy, man. It gets a little trippy, but it's dope.
So I own in some, I don't know what app it is. I don't even know if it's like real. I don't know. But I was like, oh, I can buy the piece. So I own the piece of land that I live on here in Puerto Rico in like one of these worlds.
Yeah.
Just because it was like $5 or something. I was like, yeah, it's pretty cool to own one of those. But yeah, dude, I have a big crybaby story about Decentraland that I will share with you one day offline. Dude, it's a heartbreaker, dude. It is it's like, makes me sick thinking about it. And, you know, I'm usually an early adopter to a lot of stuff. However, I'll be super honest, I have not been an early adopter besides, you know, just buying into projects of people I know. But I have not been like, I know people going to the bank and getting loans to go buy NFT projects and stuff. And wow. I'm like, it's, you know, much like gambling, much like the stock market, like invest what you're willing to lose. Is that kind of your same, you know, with your guys' approach over there as far as building it?
Oh man, absolutely. Absolutely. Only invest what you can lose. Like, again, I'm not going to stop you from buying 25, but don't buy 25 if, you know, that's your mortgage, right? I'm telling you right now, it's not, in my unexpert or expert opinion, whichever one you want to view me as, it's not going up next month. So don't buy it now, like thinking you're going to get rich next month. I'm telling you, it's not. So, you know, get it for the community, man.
It's awesome, man. I love it that you guys are community first, focused on that, you know, that community and that network. So, man, Chris, it's been awesome having you on as a co-host, having you on to talk about your NFT project. Everyone, go follow Chris. Go follow Bradley in the comments over there, because you guys are going to blow up, man. I'm excited to see what it looks like and excited to get my Nomi, get my hat. And I want a hat too. Like, that'd be dope. Anyway. But yeah, man, I'll be back in North Carolina in 20 days or so. So maybe maybe I'll see you this year in person. That'd be cool.
Yeah, you should see me this year in person.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Everybody come to the beach. Everybody come hang out. We gotta do a podcast meetup or something, you know, in North Carolina. That'd be fun. Because there's several of us that live there. So
let's do it.
Awesome, man. Well, Chris, I appreciate you, man. High five, long distance. Keep crushing it. And you said it before VidFest. Those are going to be dropping, or at VidFest, right?
Yeah, yeah. I'll be like on driving down to VidFest, like on the computer trying to finish it up.
No, just sweating like, oh, God, I got to get it done. And I'm over here like cutting up this part of it to sell as an NFT, like Chris saying it's going to be done by VidFest. There we go. That's funny, man. Well, all right, dude, you're probably going to get, you know, like steamrolled with some questions here coming in, I'm sure. But I appreciate you being on, and we'll definitely have you on again.
Hey, thanks, bro.
Yeah, man, absolutely. All right, everyone, that's it. That's a show. Hopefully you enjoyed it. I did. I enjoyed it, because I'm really curious about how do you build an NFT? How do you monetize them? How do you You know, how do we moving into Web3 as content creators use this big old creative brain inside of our head to continue to build our community and all that stuff? So hopefully you got some really good ideas today. I did. My wife's going to kill Chris because I'm like, what can I build? You know, even if a small NFT project, just to say I did. And so I want to know if you plan on building one or if there's a way that you help projects or you help promote or you're a company that's going to, you know, give access to, you know, locked up content behind cryptocurrency or whatever. Let me know. I'm curious to keep the conversation going. So I'm really excited about that. And so come back Monday. We go weekdays, 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Central. Monday, I have Manny Cabo on the show talking about leveraging your voice. He is a multi-hyphen creator, photographer, vocalist, singer. Literally, he's a rock star, okay? He was on The Voice, got a four-chair turn. So he's going to come on the show on Monday to talk about his journey, and it's going to be really fun, really awesome. So go check that out, and then, we'll see you next time. Oh, I didn't even put up the new graphic for the end screen, but here it is anyway. See ya. Have a good weekend. See you Monday, 2 p.m.